This is the Gingerbread Man, and I'd like to welcome you to my home. I am here today to talk just about a couple of my thoughts and feelings, and I guess just to give a heads up on what's been going on. So, sorry, this might be a little loud. Might be able to fix that. Oof. I gotta practice. Anyways, I had COVID. It wasn't that bad. I had a positive test, and I guess I carried the virus, but it wasn't the worst. I talked to a coworker of mine today, and she had had a much worse time. Much, much, much worse time of her experience. So I know that I don't have too many things to complain about. That's a nice plane. I wonder if I'll be able to hear that too. But I went back to work today. Felt really good. Got bad. It was really demoralizing just being on that quarantine. I mean, I wasn't completely alone because I had my son, but that's not the best. Being stuck with anybody for that amount of time can be a terrible thing, and I don't think it was good for me or him, and I worry about him, and then I myself have just been outrageously angry. It's mainly just from just being stuck in the house, man, and you can't be around people that much. You at least need some variety. It's the social aspect, you know. Even lovers hanging out in the same room, same house, they're gonna end up bickering in the end. You know, that's just normal. But I worry about him, and they're keeping him out an additional 2 weeks past mine, so that means that he's going to go back to school with like a day left. And that's just bullshit. But it's right to summer. It's okay. We're going to figure shit out. You know, we're always okay. But I did a lot of reading. I read quite a few books. I'm on to some new ones, and that's pretty exciting for me. Starting new books is like Christmas. I've been reading this guy named, correct me if I'm wrong, but Jiddu Krishnamurti, and wow. I mean, I remember I wrote down his name in my phone in my list of things that I want to buy, which is just this incredibly long list. It's just hundreds of dollars at this point. But I remember, I feel like I saw him referenced, maybe. It was weird. I don't remember where I remember originally saw him. Maybe it was an Alan Watts, maybe. I don't know. I don't remember. But as soon as I saw this little excerpt of him, I immediately wrote his name down. Like, it was some big deal. Like, I wanted to read his words that badly, or I don't know. But it's pretty cool to think that it somehow ended up in my lap, and I had that compulsion to buy it over any other book. And I am just absolutely blown away by the man's words. And he has a bad rap, like a lot of gurus do. I think it's kind of a symptom of people when they get that acclaim to try to teach people, you know, they're immediately hated. It's like a human nature thing when somebody tries to tell you something to dislike them. And I can't quite fathom why. Like, maybe if you had two groups and another group that's not part of your group is trying to change your mind, that could be fractious and you go back. So it's not like a good thing to go back to your group with somebody else's ideas. If you're in that war versus war mindset, then all of a sudden you become a spy. So I guess I could see the natural inclination and not want to take in new material. But, and then of course a lot of the teachers are shit. Like, some of these teachers are just terrible people, and that's a part of it. But I digress. You know, I really like Jiddu. So I'll try to give a brief synopsis before I log off, because I'm trying to keep these audio diaries short. But like, he tells you not to look for a teacher, and he tells you not to listen to him. He says that if you look up to him and try to take his ideals, then you're not actually making any ideals for yourself. You're just adopting another's or another authority. He used that word, which I really like, authority, and the authorities outside of our body, like our politics and our customs and all those things that have been affecting us for thousands of years. You know, but it's just all different fragments of authority over our own self-solidarity. And I find that really attractive. You know, it makes me think about cynicism and Diogenes. And maybe I'll have to do a more fuller episode on Diogenes at a later date. But It reminds me of Alan Watts in a way, maybe. Maybe that's why I keep thinking I heard about him there first. But this authority, we also have authorities within ourselves because the way that customs move indoors, and maybe we have bad habits that we've made ourselves and our own customs for how we interact and react to things. And in that way, we have these authority figures within our own head, you know? And so Jiddu basically said you have to break those down and figure out who you are and who yourself is. And I'm not sure if he mentions a shadow or if I keep thinking about it from Carl Jung in this podcast that I listened this morning, the Alpha Male Buddhist podcast from Brooklyn. Miguel, if you ever happen to listen to this by some spare chance, you gotta open up your mind a little bit, homie. Because you don't understand some of the things that you think you're talking about. But I still listen to all your shit, and I think you have a good show. So take tit for tat, however you want to think about that. But, like, the shadow is this idea that we have this inner part of ourself, because everything that is ourself is ourself. Like, Socrates said the mind is a crowded theater and there's many different thoughts coming from many different angles, and a lot of them are in conflict with one another. And it's almost like we have many people inside of our head, but it's all us. It's all ourself, you know? And so, but people have tried to label and segmentize, and for a while I fought it, but I get the appeal from a scientific perspective because if you can start to look at things around different corners, as long as you don't get lost in the trappings of these words and these labels, it can be helpful. You know, like instead of looking at life, you know, like having, oh, that's an animal because it moves. Like, I can understand a little bit of dichotomizing in that situation. But so there's this idea of the ego. I'm not going to get into it. And then there's this idea of the shadow that Carl Jung is noted for pulling up. And the shadow is this essential essence of our animal instinct, the part of us that has this inclination to pursue things. I don't want to say animalistically, but it's when you have a desire and it's not even about desire really. Like, I guess I'm gonna use this example I used on the internet earlier. But for instance, I struggle with worrying about my insecurities about being a good father to my son. And anger is a major problem in parenting. And it's not just me. You know, I remember my father being angry with me. And I'm not saying that that's why I'm angry now. But you can look at a grocery store and watch other people's with their children. And you'll see that frustration and that tension. And even little minor bits of frustration are still anger. And it blooms and blossoms until we end up screaming at our kids. And it's unhealthy and it's too normal. And I hate myself for being angry with my son ever. And I guess there's always moments and times, which is where that shadow comes in, which I'll get to. But that anger comes from that, for me, for at least the way I'm thinking about it, is it's like I have my solidarity that I pride, and I don't want to be selfish, but when my time and my pleasure gets infringed subconsciously, I fight back against the source. And a child is always going to be the only thing that deserves all of your attention. And that's a hard thing to do as anybody, to put down all your own attention on yourself to somebody else every day. And it's what needs to happen. It's what's necessary to be a good parent, which is why I think about it constantly. But that anger comes from that, and that feeling, that selfish desire of like, this is my time. How dare you disturb me? Or how dare you distract me from reading right now, which I can read at any point ever. You know, that snitchity, and it's subliminal. It's and I'm hesitating to say subconscious because it's actively in the front of your mind. It's not subconscious, but it's like a blind spot. And it's so used to acting in that way that you can't see it. And that's the shadow. That's the essential idea of the shadow and all of its different forms. You know, road rage, you know, like being mean to people who are serving you anywhere, restaurants, you know, retail stores, you know, like, I guess selfishness is definitely part of the root of it. But I've listened to many people talk about it, and even Jung said that the shadow has a point to teach if you can listen. And there's a point within it, you know. And like, I got angry with my son earlier today, and I spanked him because he was hurting me. It wasn't, it was stupid, but we got into a debacle, and I felt like I needed to punish him, and so I spanked him, you know, not like abusively, but you know, I spanked my son, just like numerous other parents throughout all of history have spanked their children, you know. And it's meant to be a perfunctory note, you know, like a like you need to really remember. Maybe that it's like an accent. At least that's the hope. Like you need to remember this moment that you fucked up, and this bit of pain is going to help you come back to it. I guess that's what it's supposed to be, but I don't think it really works that way because I certainly don't remember. I remember the violence, you know, and that's part of why I don't. It's the shadow. But, you know, I caught my breath immediately afterwards being angry, and I started to think, and then I explained it to him, and I was able to explain it to him in a way that was empathetic. And I was like, hey, you know, like if somebody hurts you and they look at you and laugh, is that fair? How would you feel? You know, trying to get him to empathize, to see that causing pain to another person and the fact that I caused pain upon him in return is, of course, a complete hypocritical situation, obviously. But yeah, so that's kind of the fruit of you know, if you can turn that pain and that struggle, if you can look at it and notice it. Which most of the time it's so subliminal you don't notice it. It's just, oh, this is me. I'm a sanctimonious, righteous person for acting in any way I shall form. But it's not the truth. It's simply not the truth. Until you can look at it, realize this is a piece of me that I disagree with, and I need to figure out how to fix this situation. Maybe not fix, but make this situation into an opportunity that I can at least grow from, and maybe somebody else, or maybe somebody that I've hurt in the process of letting my shadow take over. You know. But Jiddu gets into that in a way. You know, he's talking about the negativity and the violence and all this jealousy. You know, he's like, I don't want this in my body. I don't want it. You know, but if you fight it and you reject it, you're rejecting part of yourself, and that's a self-fulfilling prophecy. So you have to look at this essential essence of who you are. And you know, grow from it. And that takes accepting it, not rejecting it, and not making a judgment call about it, and not beating yourself up and saying you're a bad person, because that's not going to help anybody either. You know. But Jiddu Krishnamurti, Freedom from the Known. I'm just going to flip to a random page you've already read. I'm going to read a paragraph. Hopefully, I don't get boned for this. Maybe I'll never send it out. Living in such a corrupt, stupid society as we do, with the competitive education we receive, which engenders fear, we are all burdened with the fears of some kind, and fear is a dreadful thing which warps, twists, and dulls our days. There is a physical fear, but that is a response we have inherited from the animals. It is the psychological fears we are concerned with here, for when we understand the deep-rooted psychological fears, we will be able to meet the animal fears. Whereas to be concerned with the animal fears first will never help us to understand the psychological fears. We are all afraid about something. There is no fear in abstraction. It is always in relation to something. Do you know your own fears? Fear of losing your job, of not having enough food or money, or what your neighbors or the public think about you, or not being a success, of losing your position in society, of being despised or ridiculed, fear of pain and disease, of domination, of never knowing what love is or not being loved, of losing your wife or children, of death, of living in the world that is like death, of utter boredom, of not living up to the image others have built about you, of losing your faith. All these and innumerable other fears. Do you know your own particular fears? And what do you usually do about them? You run away from them, don't you? Or invent ideas and images to cover them. But to run away from fear is only to increase it. One of the major causes of fear is that we do not want to face ourselves as we are. So, as well as the fears themselves, we have to examine the network of escapes we have developed to rid ourselves of them. If the mind, in which is included the brain, tries to overcome fear, to suppress it, discipline it, control it, translate it into the terms of something else, there's a friction, there's a conflict, and that conflict is a waste of energy. Man, I like him. I really do. I really like his words. They're powerful. They resonate with me. But I'm going on quite a while at this point, so I'm going to cut it down and try to see if I can comp this stuff up to see if I can make it sound good. Thank you for listening to me if anybody else happens to listen to me. You know. if you are listening, you know, I really hope you understand how capable you are of embracing every single aspect of yourself. You can hold all the parts of yourself that you think are unpleasant, and it will not burn you. You can hold them, you can look at them, you can take it like a piece of rock picked up on a road. You can roll it in your hand, you can look at the grooves, and you can try to deduce things from it. Running away from the parts of yourself that you think are unpleasant is never going to fix anything. And you have to embrace every part of yourself and love yourself. Hope you have a great evening. This is the Gingerbread Man, out.